So I'd like to welcome you to the EW seminar. We actually scheduled it at 9:30 because it's a KME seminar, 10 to 45, so I didn't want to clash with that. And so again, we have the great pleasure today of having Dr. Remy Marmier giving us a talk, and just very briefly about him. He actually did his PhD at the French Petroleum Institute, IFP. IFP is actually one of the more prestigious research institutes in the petroleum area, and actually the IFP has been kind of emulated in a number of countries, including, for example, Mexico. I worked at the Petroleum Institute. The IFP was actually modeled or was inspiration, as a matter of fact, for that. At any rate, so he did his PhD in the area of reservoir geomechanics, and then in 2007 he joined Total, and again was working in the area of petroleum reservoir area, and he's actually been involved in a number of positions, including, for example, well productivity, both in Africa and in Norway, and more recently he's become the leader of integrated asset modeling. And essentially the idea of the talk today is to talk about sort of the challenge that there is in integrating software, from reservoir to surface to production, with the objective of maximizing value for oil and gas, okay? So I guess, Remy, you're welcome, and we look forward to your talk then. And by the way, those who are out there, please make sure that you do mute your phone so we don't have these sometimes funny background noises, okay? All right, thank you. So Remy, it's all yours.
Okay, so thanks a lot, Ignacio. Just tell me if you don't hear me very well. I can try to speak loudly if you want. So, as introduced, my name is Remy Marmier. I work for Total, and I'm heading what we call the Integrated Asset Modeling Entity for the group. I don't know how familiar you are with the exploration and production project for oil and gas development, but I think my presentation should be made in a way so that you can get the taste of it and the challenges and why you are doing such things. As any company, what we want, obviously, is to maximize the hydrocarbons production, meaning the oil and the gas, while we tend to minimize our costs. This is obviously for making benefits, but it's also because nowadays, with the oil prices being quite low compared to before, that's really a challenge. So it's not only promoting production, we have to promote production at low cost, and that's a real challenge for us. And we do this work all along a field life. What I mean a field life, it's that first we have to do exploration to find the hydrocarbons. And even at that stage, very early stage, we have to know how much we would be produced if we find something. So that's very, very, very uncertain. Once we have discovered something, we go into a development phase where we will try to find how we can produce this discovery. And finally, once the oil is being produced, we try to maximize its production daily. It's a kind of a refineries where you have built your refinery, and then you try to find the best set points into your system to maximize the product output. So that's what I call the field life. So such problems, it becomes very rapidly very complex. You will see optimization problems where we need to do modeling of all the different elements, and that's what I will explain to you. I'm sorry, there is a lot of noise from someone. Okay, that's good.
Please, everybody out there, can you please make sure you do mute your phones, because we were just hearing some background noise. We'll appreciate your help and cooperation, okay? Thank you. Okay, Remy, if you want to continue.
Yeah, sure. So for maximizing the production and minimizing the cost, we have to solve some optimization problems, which are requiring large modeling means. And I will show you how it looks like. And these problems are getting more and more complex because the way we develop these hydrocarbons is getting more and more complex. Like we have oils which are lying below 3,000 meters of water, 4,000 meters of water, and then you have 2,000, 3,000 meters of rock, so that's quite deep. You have what we call the unconventional, like the shale gas, which are very challenging for many aspects. There are many, many environmental complexity, like we are looking to development into the Arctic, environment and so on, and the fluids as well, they are very challenging. Some of them are getting more and more acids, some viscous, some waxy, so that's very challenging. And obviously we have to do all of these things into control and safe conditions. So back to my presentation, I will explain to you a bit how we work in terms of modeling the entire system and where and how we need to use optimizers and optimization procedures. So this is a rough picture of what is a field development. So basically you have the rocks here, which are containing the hydrocarbons. Then the people are drilling some wells, so that's some holes in the rock with which you are producing the hydrocarbons upwards. Then you have some collecting networks up to gathering points where you are doing some processing to separate phases to maximize the recovery of the condensate of the oil if you have a gas field, for instance. And then you are exporting these fluids to onshore, where here you have the refineries and then the domestic supply. So that's how it looks like. And in what we call exploration and production, we stop basically here. This is more the refining part, and my talk today will be up to that point, meaning the reservoir, the wells, the production, collecting network, and the process facilities on the in the past facilities. And the question is, how can we maximize its production? So to do that, there are many disciplines. So that's, again, these disciplines, the reservoir engineering, the well engineering, network engineering, process engineering. So these guys are doing their work, and together with economists. And one approach is to work iteratively, meaning that the guys responsible for the reservoir modeling, they will do something, and they will exchange data with the other engineers. And once the other engineers have the other data, they can exchange their data with their outputs, and so on, and so on. And at the end, you have the economist, which will say whether or not it creates value. And doing this process, that's a bit tricky, and you can imagine that you are not sure that you have captured the full complexity of the system, and also that you have an optimum solution, because each engineer is doing its work on his side and exchange boundary conditions. So the other approach, which is the approach I'm discussing in my talk, is the integrated modeling, where instead of working in silos, you will bring all of these pieces together and bridge them into only one model, which is called the integrated asset modeling. And why is it important? For instance, if you have an oil field that is producing, and if you have a minimum export pressure for the network, how will you optimize your system? From the subsurface point of view, meaning the reservoir, the wells, and the network, if you lower the process pressure, you will increase the potential. Well, if you lower this pressure from the process point of view, you lower the potential. So you see, you have many interferences, and you need an integrated model. And then, if you add costs, you have some revenues by selling your oil and your gas, but you also have some costs linked to the processing equipment, for instance, and so on, which are non-linear, and you end up with some non-linear profit curves. And then you have to decide whether you want to maximize your production or you have to maximize your profit. So that's to give you the taste of the complexity of the things that we are modeling, meaning that we have to model, if I may come back, all the system, which has different physics with different tools, combined together with some economical parameters so that we maximize the profit, the revenues of our development. And I will give you an example here, for instance, of a field that we, for which we have discovered three rocks containing oils, hydrocarbons. So that's this very small map here. This is the contour of the rock containing the hydrocarbons of the first discovery. This is the second discovery. This is the third discovery. And all along the development, we tend to test different development concepts. For instance, this shape here, that's the position of the FPSO, which is a floating unit which is gathering the production from the different reservoirs. And we tend to place it either on one side here or to put it at this place here. And if you put it at different places, you will have different different production. So we tend to combine as many assumptions as we can to find what is the best development assumption to produce the field. And once the field is producing, like a refinery, once it's built, it's running, we have some software that are used to connect the real data to the models. The integrated models, which is, as I said, capturing the reservoir, the well, the network, and the process. So we connect the models to the real data. And with that, we can do some KPIs and like color coding, where you can see here where the red, it's where the current production is not conformed to the expected production. So that's where we have to work on to put our efforts and so on. So, yeah, so that's my message is here. We use models, multi-physics, for developing our fields. And we use these models as well, these integrated models, in real conditions together with the real data. I will touch on a bit later on the optimizations. So in terms of the tools, we are using there are many approaches, and one of those is Petroleum Experts, which is an integration platform between different physics. And probably you are not familiar with these tools, but for instance, here there are some tools which are the reservoir models, so modeling the flows into the rocks. Some of those are modeling the flows into the wells. Some of those are modeling the flows into the network, and some of those are modeling the flows into the process facilities. So with such platforms, you can connect all of this physics into one big model, which is called the integrated model. And once you have that, you can use some optimization features. So I will describe in the next few slides the existing solutions. And I'm not a specialist in optimization, so please be nice with me, I would say. So there are several levels of optimizers which are available in this software. First, before the optimizer, you have the physics modeling, so which is a mass balance equations, which are solved. That's one part. And on the part on the top of the physics, the mass balance equations capturing the physics of the flows, you have some sets of optimizers. So they have one set of nonlinear programming, which is used to find the best controlling parameters, which will maximize the production, for instance. So in a field, you can decide to produce one well more than the other one. That's done with a choke, which will lower the production of the wells. And for instance, this optimizer, they will suggest for you what is the optimum production of each well, which is maximizing overall the production of the full system. And in this example here, it's not easy to understand, but you can also put some equipment. For instance, we put some equipment which are called ESPs, that's electrical submersible pumps. So that's some multi-phase pumps that you will put in the wells. And to make them running, you have to provide them with power, with energy. And for instance, the optimizers, they can also play with how much power you assign to each of those pumps to maximize the production of the full system. So you see, you can use many parameters to maximize the production. And the optimizers are very useful because conceptually, you can probably try to optimize yourself on a whiteboard with a few parameters. But then, due to the physics and the multi-phase flow which are occurring and the non-linearity of the systems, you need definitely optimizers to help you optimizing your production. So this is one set. And then you can use a second step of optimization. So you can combine a non-linear programming tool with a linear programming tool at a higher step. So for instance, you can vary another parameter. I will show you an example a bit later. And also, in the oil industry, we are facing, I think I haven't written here, but it's a MinLP, MinLP problems. And because, for instance, we can make the production flowing on one side or the other side of a network, and this becomes an integer problem, which is combined with nonlinear problems that I mentioned before. And today, in the industry and with these tools, they are using, they are kind of decoupling the effects, and they are using what they call a gyro optimizer, which is a genetic-based algorithm. And you guys are more familiar than me on that, but basically what it does is that it will sample several combinations, which will be the initial cases. It will use then the nonlinear programming to maximize each of these samples, and then it will cross the best with the best, and hopefully converge toward its best solution, for which we don't have any guarantee that it's the optimum global solution, obviously. But it's a way to fasten the simulations, because here, one iteration can be minutes, hours. So if you want to test 2^10 solutions with 1 hour time for each of those, it takes a lot of time. So that's why they have derived some simplified approaches like that, to converge towards one good solution, but which is most likely not the best, but it's a good one. So let's give you an example. So for instance, here you have that screenshot from models. This is a model where you have some reservoir, wells, and production system. And this is a process Pro2 model, very simple. So you can use the nonlinear programming to say which well will produce how much to maximize the production of this system. And you can use the linear programming at the higher level to vary the pressure at the first stage of Pro 2 and iterate like that, combining these two levels of optimizations. That's another example here where you have some wells which are symbolized as these triangles. And each well can be connected to different routes, so that this so this the flow coming here, it can come go either this way or this way. The flow from this point can go either this way or this way, and you can have as many routing options as possible. And in that case, it will combine the three different optimizers that I mentioned. It will use the nonlinear programming, it will use the linear programming for the compressors, and it will use the genetic algorithm approach, the gyro, to approximate the solving of the min LP problem. And this software, so they are modeling again the physics. And they are able to extract some derivatives, first order, second order derivatives, and to plug their optimizers on the top of it, to capture and to optimize really at the entire field level the production. I have a last slide, but I don't know if we shall we do questions at the end, or we could maybe add questions now, maybe to clarify some points before going into this what we are doing with Pittsburgh University. What do you prefer?
Yeah. Maybe we'll take the questions at the end, Remy, because
that
might be easier.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what are we doing with Pittsburgh? So I just expressed a few points. It's not necessarily very detailed in what I put here, because the objective for me of the presentation is really to try to have shown you the complexity or the challenge that we have. But today we are working with Ignacio and Ignacio's students on what we call a reduced model. So it's an integrated model, which is a bit more simplified in terms of the modeling the physics. And we use that to test different options and optimizations features that are not available in the software that I mentioned to you. The first one is on the multi-period, because the tools that we are using, as I said, they are doing optimization at a large scale, multi-physics, but they are doing it at every time step. While some of the parameters that we want to optimize, they would need to be optimized using a multi-period. For instance, if you think about any economical parameter like an NPV, if you want to maximize it, you have to maximize its value all along the years to end up at the end with the maximized value. So none of the commercial tools used in the oil industry, they are using multi-period. So we have derived on this reduced model multi-period approaches to maximize, for instance, economical parameters. We also have worked on the multi-objective functions. Today, in most of the commercial software, as far as I know, again, we tend to maximize the production. And hopefully my message was clear enough at the beginning, saying that maximizing the production is nice, but it doesn't mean that we maximize the economics of the project. So the problem at the end, it's a bi-objective problem. where you try to maximize both an NPV and an oil production. And so we made many sensitivities on the reduced model. And here, for instance, that's an illustration of the production profiles over years. Each point is for 1 year, so it's like 20 years production profile. And this is the production profile that you get if you want to maximize the production, which is this line here. And the green is when you try to maximize the NPV, the economics. So that's these 2 points here. And we try to use some multi-objective functions, which would be to optimize both at the same time to have the best compromise between the two. So and this doesn't exist in the oil industry at all, as far as I know. We have been benchmarking different optimizers on this reduced model using this multi-period, multi-objective, and also what I didn't mention, but we are using global optimization as well. As you have seen before in the MinLP problems that we try to solve with the commercial software that we have, we are using this genetic algorithms, which are not global solutions. You may find a non-optimum solution. So we have also used some global optimizers, and we have benchmarked different solutions. And what is the most efficient optimizer for such problems? And also we live, I think, even more than refineries. We live in a very uncertain world in exploration and production. We have very, very large uncertainties. Doing optimization is good, but doing optimization while considering some uncertain parameters is very a must for us, because today none of the tools that exist are able to capture to maximize algorithm functions with uncertain parameters, and that's something we are also looking at with CMU. So key messages, I hope that you have captured that maximizing a development in the oil and gas industry, it's complex because you are facing different disciplines, different physics, namely reservoir engineering, well engineering, network engineering, process engineering, and economics. And for that, you need to integrate the different disciplines into one model, so that then you are able to do your optimization at the higher level as possible. If you try to optimize any of it of the different disciplines in standalone, you won't have the global optimization of the system. It's getting more and more complex. The development for the reasons I mentioned here, and also because of the economical context. So using optimizers is really a must to help us. And also commercial tools exist, and we are collaborating with CMU really to push further these tools and to enable a new way of optimizing our fields by the use of such optimizers that I mentioned, like the nonlinear, like the multi-period, the multi-objective function, and so on. So thanks for your attention. I think we have time for some questions, and I hope that you will have get the messages. I don't necessarily know before I did my talk to which engineers or researcher I was talking to. So I try to adapt as much as possible my talk, but I would be happy to discuss further any point now, if you want.
All right. Okay, thank you very much. So let's see. I think, we do have obviously time for questions. Any questions here from the audience at CMU? Yeah. This is probably a PhD student who's going to ask a question for me.
I met you some time ago. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, Remy, my question for you is that it's about the operational conditions. When you do this nonlinear programming problem, are the operational conditions really continuous, or do you have some discrete operation points where you can operate and then some others that you can't? So, what's the situation and how do you deal with that?
Yeah, it's you have both because in the, for instance, if you take the case of a compressor or a pump, normally it operates smoothly as per its operating envelope. But at some point, you may exceed its operating envelope, and then you have to close it. So you can, for some equipment, you can go from smooth and continuous parameters to stop it completely to zero.
Okay.
So Did it answer your question?
My question was more in the sense that you, when you do that model, you're representing those operational conditions such as the pressure as a continuous variables, but. So my question is, are you really able to use any value of pressure in practice, or there's a discrete number of operations points that you can use, and then if you reflect that in the modeling, and how do you deal with that when your solution doesn't match that?
So your question is more, so is the pressure is modeled continuously, or if it's using some simplification, is that kind
of the question? It's being modeled continuously, but I was just wondering if in practice you can actually set the compressors to any setting you want, or there's a discrete set of values that the pressure can take. And so how do you reconcile that?
Well, like your compressor, you enter its performance curves, so you have to operate within its envelope.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
So you are constrained by the equipment that you have selected or installed on your field.
Yeah. Let's see. Maybe we do have a number of people listening to you, Remy. I was wondering, anybody out there in the audience would like to ask a question to Remy based on the presentation he just gave? Usually we have them.
Hey, Ignacio, this is Sal from Lilly.
Oh, Sal, great, thank you.
Thank you very much for your very kind, your nice presentation. I have a question from the cultural aspect of getting this done and implemented in your industry. Surely, as you were talking about the different silos that carry out the different engineering activities across the line, surely every one of those groups of engineers have their preferred tool to do their calculations. When you implemented this and you went to this software, did you have to move everyone from their preferred toy to this one, or does this tool allow the engineers to use their own native tool for doing their own calculations?
So I can feel that you have some experience.
I have a similar problem, yes.
No, so that's nice to hear. So yes, indeed, but initially, so the people, they are they have their own tools which are using different assumptions and for different objectives. And I have to say that now, as I'm speaking, this new entity which I'm heading has been formally created. So now Total has turned into a step change where these engineers, they move towards using also these tools with the objective of working more together. Even if it's not their tool that they are using initially, they tend to use it more and more to really collaborate more closely together. But it's a big challenge, as you may have experienced in your company, probably. So it's really improved now. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Any other question out there from the audience? Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Can you speak up? Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for your talk, Remy. My name is Stefan Bakker. I'm a PhD student at NTNU in Norway, and I'm working on the shutdown decision, so at the end of a field's lifetime. My first question is, are you also working on problems where you look at, so in the field of the lifetime, you also have to take into account the question when you shut down a field or a well, a set of wells. Are you working on this, on such a problem, or different people at Total?
No, yes, but I was really trying to explain to show in my talk, so these integrated models, they can be used all along the field life. And I made a small focus on when the field is on production, and indeed, if I may just go back, like here, this is a screenshot, and this triangle here, they are wells. And for instance, as you mentioned, you may have to shut down one platform or to shut some wells for intervention at some point. And indeed, you can use these models to try to see how the other wells can compensate for this temporarily lose production of these wells of our platform. So yes, we use that for estimating how we can compensate the production during shutdowns.
Okay.
And the optimizers are very useful because it helps us to find solutions that would be very difficult for us to explain, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have several questions here, but we can leave it at.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Remy. I was wondering if maybe you could, on the one hand, tell us a little bit more about PTX, the company from which you're using the software. That's one. And secondly, are they the only option? Because I would assume, like in the simulation market, there's different vendors. And can you maybe just comment on that?
I can find in 1 second, just one slide. I can show you something. Try to show you something. There is nothing confidential here, hopefully.
Yeah.
So this is about integrated models. So you know now what is an integrated model. It's where you are molding the reservoir, the wells, network, and process with different levels of accuracy. And here, this is a small benchmark of, I would say, three categories of integrated models. This part here on the left side, So it will be a bit difficult for me to explain, but I will try to do my best. But these softwares, commercials, they are using type curves for the reservoirs. So hopefully it rings a bell to you.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So with these softwares, you have type curves for the reservoirs, and you don't consider any pressure in the wells, no pressure loss in the network, nowhere. You are based only on type curves. And this software, and specifically this one, Future, developed by Seraphim, this one has also an optimizer, which is used. I think they are doing piecewise linearization of the nonlinear problem. So these guys are doing integrated models, which are very simple with optimizers,
right,
if I may. Then you have, for instance, Schlumberger, with large companies in the oil industry, which is doing services and softwares and many, many things. And they are the owner of these softwares, Eclipse and Intersect, which are purely reservoir simulators, so softwares modeling the flows into the rocks three phase. And with these tools, you can also add some simplified well and network modeling. But it's simplified. So here, it's everything is simplified. Here, the reservoir is very advanced, but the surface is simplified. And they don't have any optimizer. And then you have Petroleum Expert. So that's a Scottish company. It was created more than 25 years ago. And they have two sets of products which are listed here. And you can look at their website on Internet, Petroleum Expert. And they have their own softwares, which are these tools. So this one is a reservoir simulator. This one is a simplified reservoir simulator. This one is a well simulator. This one is a network simulator. This is the integration platform that I mentioned, where you can connect any of these elements together to model the entire system. This is a PVT, a fluid modeling tool. And they have another set of softwares here, which are used for the real-time monitoring and optimization as well. And so that's their own proprietary softwares, but they also developed already 20 years ago the capacity to connect to any other software of the oil industry. Which are here, you can connect to process simulators, you can connect to this Schlumberger software and everything. So all to say that indeed there are many tools. All the tools have different functionalities and can be used into different solutions or into different contexts. Some of them are very simple using optimizers. Some of them are fitted for reservoir modeling, and some of them, like PETEX, are really the best in the market. And I'm not a software vendor. I work for Total. My objective is not to sell software, it's to produce. And today, from my benchmark, they are really the most flexible tool in the industry.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I think, let me see, Sal, do you still want to ask a question? I think we got a message for that.
Yeah, I want to follow up on this, Ignacio. So, coming back to you had to convince people to use a different tool. I presume that, so did you do any benchmarking, and were people resistant because the accuracy of the tool you were using is different from the one they had? And if so, how did you or did you go about, you know, determining how inaccurate can the new tool be that it's still worth it because of the integrated aspect?
That's not a simple question.
No, it's not.
Ignacio can give you my contacts, but no problem. We can discuss it further.
Okay. Perfect, thank you.
But that's a very good point. So I think the first part of it was to really integrate these people into this change. Because if you do things without integrating people first, you have all the chances to not to be able to integrate anything. Saying that, we have had to spend a lot of time with them to understand how they were modeling fluids, for instance, in the networks, to make sure that GAP, developed by Petroleum Experts, was confident as well for them. So it's it has been a long history. It's not 100% white today. There are still some gray areas. But the question you raise, the two questions regarding the disciplines of integrated modeling, but the real very big question that in every oil company asks itself, and we'd be happy to discuss further with you if you are available.
Yeah, thank you. I work for pharmaceuticals, so... So how long did it take you to go from totally siloed to this integrated framework in terms, like in years? How long did it take you?
What do you mean by between the time where the people are working standalone compared to now where they're working more integrated model?
Yes.
It took years. Years, yeah, really. Years and...
10, 5?
I know that integrated modeling has been started like 10 years ago in total.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. So it gives you the order of magnitude.
There's hope.
All right.
Yeah, I'm fully.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. Okay. Maybe, on that note, thank you very much, Remy. Really appreciate your very interesting and excellent talk. And again, really appreciate it. So maybe a round of applause again for you. And again, our next CW seminar, by the way, is November the 9th, and it's on machine learning, but now with math rather than with magic. Okay? So I'll see you then, November the 9th. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.